This is Monsignor Gray. Today is the 23rd of March, and some reflections based on the readings of the day and maybe just a few other things for us to reflect on today. If you'd like to follow along with the readings from Daily Mass, you can have those in front of you if that's helpful. And I'll start just by commenting a bit on the first reading from Isaiah 65, then the Gospel from John chapter 4. Isaiah has such a positive message. The reading that's there is so undeniably enthusiastic. He starts about the Lord creating a new heavens and a new earth. The things of the past shall not be remembered or come to mind. Instead, there shall always be rejoicing and happiness in what I create, for I create Jerusalem to be a joy and its people to be a delight. That may seem very far from where we are right now, about a new heavens, a renewed earth, about putting in the past all of those the things that we worried about before. Right now we're in the midst of worrying about all kinds of problems. But this is a good reminder of what we are destined for, of what we are called to. So this new creation, this recreation, is something that only the Lord can do. And that the day will come when all of the things we're worrying about now will be in the past, so they shall not be remembered or come to mind. And let us look forward to that day. So we will go through the difficulties about worrying about illness, and then eventually come to the point where we have confidence again in being really restored to health, that there will be in fact rejoicing and happiness. So let us take delight in these promises that the Lord has given to us, that He will fill us with joy, and remain optimistic, remain positive, so as to not be overwhelmed with negativity or anything that might bring us down. And then in the Gospel, we have a particular example of healing, not just the general statement that Isaiah made about being renewed and restored, but in particular, we have a royal official whose son is ill, and the man comes to Jesus to ask for his son's healing. And Jesus does not go to the official's house, but just gives the command. He says, your son will live. And the man goes home trusting, and the official goes home, but then discovers that his son began to get better at exactly the time that Jesus had said so. And it's a reminder that Jesus, simply by his word, can bring about healing. Jesus, by his word, can restore grace. And he and his household became believers. Sometimes I think we get so caught up with our human response to the challenges we face, to trying to deal with a virus. Do we have the right technical equipment, and how can we manufacture it, or do we have tests, or do we have treatment, and so what we need to do is fix these things and take all of our human initiatives in order to deal with this. And it is good for us to use our medical skills and technical skills to try to preserve health. But at the same time, let us not forget that it's also good for us to go to the Lord and to ask spiritually for His help as well. That we can work with both our human effort and also with the divine effort, the divine grace that we receive from the Lord to arrive at a better place. And so we ask the Lord to give us His grace. We ask the Lord to restore us to health. We ask the Lord to bring to an end the spread of disease. We ask for the grace that is necessary for us to then return back to a more normal way of functioning. And these are all things that we can pray to the Lord about and ask for His grace. So never doubt the power of prayer. We ask the Lord for what we need, and when we ask in faith, those can be very powerful prayers. And we ask in confidence, for we know that the Lord is in fact God. He's the one in charge of all things and can make anything happen. And so let us then not give in to pessimism, but remain optimistic. Let us not think only of our human efforts, but let us also pray to God and ask for His help at this time in particular. As we look at some of the events in the parish, I know this week would typically be the time we would pray for all the faithful departed in the Monsignor Rank Mass. This year we'll have to reschedule that, since obviously that now is not going to be a possibility. So we'll look to find a time that would be appropriate to remember and to pray for all the faithful departed. And we lift them up especially. It's March 25th. We remember the anniversary of our founding pastor's death. So it's a good day to pray for all the faithful departed. And then we can have a more appropriate time to gather together at church in order to offer prayers for all the faithful departed as well. There are some other very positive things to be reminded of. I know many donations have come into the food pantry, and this is a time when those donations are very much needed. We're anticipating even greater demand for our food pantry. And so all the donations that have been left at St. Thomas are very much helpful, very useful, and we're very grateful for them. So we want to try to serve especially the people who are the most affected, the ones who are the least well off, and try to take care of them in particular at this time. And the generosity of so many people makes that a possibility. Also, just as we watch the news reports, I know that there are increasing numbers of people, especially in this country, who have tested positive for the virus. But when we also look at the number of deaths that have been reported, we realize there's a little silver lining there, that the mortality rate is much closer to 1%, 1% of those who have been affected, in fact, have died, as opposed to a much higher percent that I think had been previously reported. And maybe as time goes on and this continues to be studied, we'll find that maybe that mortality rate is even less than 1%, and we certainly pray for that. Pray that that's the case, that fewer people than have been expected may in fact suffer or die because of this. And so we pray for that milder effect, that maybe things would be not as serious as we had been led to believe. We continue on, however, with suspending Mass, which limits our ability to receive communion. I know that's a difficulty for many people. We encourage people to make a spiritual communion. So by praying to the Lord and in prayer, expressing their desire to be united with the Lord. So even if we can't receive Him in the Eucharist, that spiritual communion is still an important way for us to express our faith and to establish that connection, to be in union with the Lord in a prayerful way. Sometimes we think about people who have really had to live without the Eucharist for a long period of time. Sometimes in the persecutions that happened in the early Roman Empire, or sometimes some of the Eastern martyrs, in particular the Korean martyrs, the 1700s and the 1800s, people who tried to bring the Lord to the church in Korea or bring the Eucharist to them, a lot of times they were put to death. And so the faith continued on even for years, even for decades, during a time when priests were not available. And yet they persevered in their faith without the opportunity to receive the sacraments. And the courage that we see in people like St. Andrew Kim Taegon, and some of the Korean martyrs, that's really an encouraging thing for us to remember as well. Later in the year, we'll have the Feast of Corpus Christi, which is the time we celebrate a special feast day for the body of Christ. And sometimes we have a procession for that. Maybe this is a particular year for us to put special emphasis on Corpus Christi, since we might be even more aware than ever of the importance of the Eucharist. Normally we know that we have access to communion and may even take for granted how readily we can approach communion. But during a time when we're not able to do so as conveniently, maybe this is a time to generate a certain amount of hunger, a spiritual hunger within us for the Eucharist, so that way we might have renewed devotion, a renewed sense of appreciation for what a profound gift this is. And this is something that we can celebrate at Corpus Christi. So we continue on in our Lenten season. So continue to pray, continue to make time for the Lord, look after one another, as we continue to try to find good things to do, to stay active, to exercise our souls, our minds, our bodies, and that even during this time of isolation or separation, that we still remain united with the Lord. So we ask for the Lord's blessings on each and every one of you. God bless.